It's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to bring you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss dogs, real dogs, fictional dogs, literary dogs, with author Bruce Cameron. Indeed, today's show promises to be canine-centric. As always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Sean Frew with a relevant piece called Wild Dog here on Talking Animals. This is Sean Frew with Wild Dog, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, W. Bruce Cameron, New York Times bestselling author of 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter and other books, whose debut novel, A Dog's Purpose, is a singular saga about and ostensibly told by a charismatic canine in a quest to understand his purpose over the arc of being reborn as various dogs in various settings. Find out about the book and the dog or dogs who tell its rich, extraordinary story when we hear from Bruce Cameron in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Later on, we'll give away a copy of A Dog's Purpose and name that animal tune. Right now, though, it's time for animal news and or announcements. Starting with a benefit I want to let you know about for Suncoast Seabird Sanctuary, of course, focusing on the birds affected by the Gulf oil crisis. So this is going to take place Sunday, July 18th at Gaspar's Grotto from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's in Ybor City, and it's pet-friendly. Pets are welcome on the patio. There will be food and beverages available for purchase. There's no cover charge, but donations of money and or supplies are encouraged. See Suncoast Seabird Sanctuary's website for information on rescue efforts and needed supplies. That's seabirdsanctuary.com. This is sponsored by Tampa Mobile Veterinary Services and Salon 705. Also coming up next Wednesday, normally we would have Talking Animals at this time next Wednesday, as it's the second Wednesday of the month, but it's preempted because WNF is having a sort of short fun drive, more to the point maybe membership drive. So you can still support Talking Animals and me and WNF and the Wednesday Sonic Detour later that day, a week from today, July 14th, at from 4 to 6 p.m., and there's any number of ways to do that. You can call in at 813-238-8001. You can support us online, WNF.org. And you go to talkinganimals.net. You can find out other ways to support us beforehand if you're so inclined. And also see some of the pretty cool range of thank you gifts, sometimes called premiums in the business, that we've lined up, including amazing killer seats to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers concert coming up in September. Turn behind this great, great new album of his, Mojo. And we've got a week's stay in Hawaiian condo, animal-oriented. I was lucky enough to be there about a month or so ago and saw spinner dolphins and snorkeled with all kinds of sea turtles. There's a picture of a sea turtle that was inches away on TalkingAnimals.net. We also have a Jane Goodall book signed by Dr. Goodall. Got a couple different Joan Jett packages. Got a very cool veterinarian's dog package that you can read the description of also on TalkingAnimals.net. And got various gift cards for tours of Tampa's Big Cat Rescue and much, much more. So some of those are maybe high-ticket items, but some are actually very reasonable, low-dough items. So we're looking, of course, to raise money, but we're also really looking to expand our membership here at WMNF. So I hope you can help us out. Mark your calendars. So again, we're not on next Wednesday morning with Talking Animals, but we are on next Wednesday, July 14th, from 4 to 6 p.m., and you can support Talking Animals, again, me and WMNF at that time. Right now, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is a piece selected with our guest and his book in mind. It's Brian Regan with Dog Barking on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
Why would a dog bark at 3 o'clock in the morning in your neighborhood? What is that all about? I'm not talking about when there's two dogs doing, you know, whatever they do. Sometimes you got two going at it, you know. Hey! Do you remember when we were chasing that cat? Yeah. You got him mixed up with a stick. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that. That was fun. Yeah. I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about when there's one dog, you know, doing a monologue like at 3 o'clock in the morning. What are they doing? I think they just go out on the porch at that hour and just go, hey, it's nice and quiet. Why don't I bark it up for no reason whatsoever? Home, 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 home. And then right when you think they're done, hum, 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 the hell's the matter with you?
I'm a dog.
I'm barking. How do you argue with them? Wouldn't it be weird if people were like that for no reason? Like if some guy went out on his porch at 3 in the morning, nobody knows him. He's like new to the neighborhood, just goes out there, you know, hey! Hey, you all right, man? Hey, hey, hey! Well, hey, that's it for me. Thank you all very much, folks.
That was Brian Regan with a piece called Dog Barking, taken from his album Live on Duncan Strauss's Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page. Become our fan, will ya? And our Twitter page. Please follow us. Plus, there's a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to hear from today's guest, Bruce Kamen, so let me outline a few things about him. He's an award-winning humor columnist and New York Times bestselling author of 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter and other books. His debut novel, A Dog's Purpose, is a rich, provocative, poignant story told from the standpoint of a dog, sort of a canine memoir in which he seeks to understand his purpose while he's reborn as various dogs in various settings over various lifetimes. The book only came out yesterday, but has already generated several rave reviews. In the interest of disclosure, I want to mention that I read A Dog's Purpose several months ago, thought it was fantastic, and provided a blurb for the book jacket, which itself is pretty glowing. So in an interview recorded recently, this is Bruce Kamen on Talking Animals. All right, let's welcome to Talking Animals, Bruce Kamen. Thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals, Bruce.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, well, gosh, to really, of course, love the book, and you know, to sort of burrow as deeply into the canine mind and soul as you clearly did to write this novel must have taken considerable time and effort. How long did you spend undercover as a dog?
Yeah, when I wrote A Dog's Purpose, my whole thing was how do I get to be a dog? So I spent a lot of time walking around with a tennis ball in my mouth, and you know, I'd go over and lift my leg on the neighbor's shrubs and dig holes in the backyard, and it really helped.
Sure. Well, you know, on a more serious note, when this show airs, A Dog's Purpose will have only come out yesterday. So realistically, only a few fortunate folks, including myself, will have had a chance to read it just yet. So maybe I could ask you to give us kind of the nickel tour of the book. I mean, you know, your overview in a few barks or so.
Okay, well, here's my pitch, as they would say.
Okay.
I think what A Dog's Purpose does thematically is that it teaches us what we have always assumed is true, which is that love lasts forever and that our friends will always find their way back to us. In A Dog's Purpose, I write from the point of view of a dog, and the challenge for me as an author was to try to write as a real dog. So this is not a dog who understands conversations. You can't. I mean, my parents are always talking to their dogs and saying, "Okay, we're going to the store. We want you to stay here and don't chew on anything." The dog doesn't understand any of that.
Sure.
And that's my dog and A Dog's Purpose. He doesn't understand vast quantities of English. He has a few words that he likes, like car ride and biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
But he does, if he's lying in a room and people are talking, he does hear that.
Yeah.
But the real secret for this dog is that after a brief life as a feral dog, and then a feral dog who's captured by a dog hoarder, and then tragically and rather quickly euthanized, the dog is reborn and discovers not only does it have a new life, but it can remember its old life. And the dog and a dog's purpose concludes there must be a reason for this, and that the dogs must have a purpose. And until he discovers and fulfills his purpose, he will spend his time on Earth being reborn over and over again. And that's what happens for this dog, is a search for his purpose.
Yeah, well, and of course, perhaps not surprisingly, I want to delve into the purpose and the purpose over the course of the book and over the course of the dogs as he's reborn various times. But first, you know, just as you probably already suggested to our listeners just by your comments, I mean, to me, this is a book that could not be written by someone in their 20s or 30s. I mean, I don't care how precociously talented that person is. This seems like only someone who's lived a while, had some seasoning and a wealth of experiences, you know, good and bad, happy and painful, not to mention a lifetime of dog relationships, could really have written a dog's purpose. I mean, how would you react to that observation?
Sounds to me like you're trying to tell me I'm really old.
No. I think there's a certain wisdom, you know, that's underlying, you know, it's maybe more pronounced when the dog is, you know, in one guise than another. But I just think the kind of observations, I mean, really just the premise of the book that you just stated, I mean, you know, that's just I think coming from someone who's you know, lived a little and seen a few things and done a few things. So
yeah, I think, you know, in a dog's purpose, when the narrator to the dog starts out as a feral dog and it's the first life he can remember.
Yeah,
he doesn't really know much about what's going on. He doesn't really understand people that well. His sophistication is pretty low. In his next incarnation, after a brief, you know, sort of a puppy-like encounter with life-threatening danger, he winds up being adopted by a loving family and getting to know an 8-year-old boy. And he just cannot imagine that there'd be any more joy in life than playing with an 8-year-old boy. And but gradually, he comes to be much more sophisticated in his understanding of human relations and who these characters are in the family, and they have a cat, and the boy goes to school, and the dog doesn't understand that at first, but eventually comes to grip with the idea that every day the entire family will evacuate, and he's left alone with this dumb cat. You know, that's how the dog sees it.
Sure.
So, sure, by the time that life is over, the dog has gained a great deal of sophistication, and that really, in a dog's purpose, every life informs the next life, which is probably what we go through with our single life in terms of, I mean, our soul life, if you get my drift.
Sure.
Every experience informs the next.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. So, was examining a dog's purpose or any creature's purpose a central aspect of the book from its inception? And then the challenge was how best to tell the story that kind of illustrated that and helped achieve that exploration? Or did this maybe start off on a different path and the notion of purpose just kind of kept elbowing its way into the center of your, you know, monitor or manuscript?
No, I think when from the very beginning, the point of a dog's purpose was, first off, that dogs bring an almost immeasurable amount of joy to a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And as we as humans, you know, we know what's going on. We know that that as a feral dog, he's close to starving and he's eating garbage. And then we know when he goes to this hoarder's yard that he's living in despicable conditions.
Yeah.
But the dog doesn't know that. The dog thinks it's great.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, when the dog finally winds up with a loving family and goes through all that as the boy grows older, The dog just continues to bring joy and love to everything he does.
Yeah.
So from our aspect, the dog's purpose is kind of evident from the very beginning. Their purpose is to bring so much joy and love into the world. But as in terms of this dog's specific purpose and how everything that he goes through in all of his lives culminates in the final scenes of the book, that is something that I was aiming toward from the very beginning, from the very first word of this book, A Dog's Purpose.
Okay, well, I definitely want to sort of get more into the purpose as he is sort of on the journey throughout the story into those final pages. But first, let me just tell folks, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, I'm speaking with author Bruce Cameron about his new book, A Dog's Purpose, in a conversation recorded recently. So yeah, so the notion of purpose and how that sort of changes as he/she morphs over the course of the book. I mean, really, if you just I sort of isolated at least most or many of the times over the course of the book, and as you say, as you know, as he's Toby, as he's Bailey, his purpose changes or becomes more clear to him, and then he's really talking about having, you know, no purpose at one point, no destiny, no hope, but really, yeah, as you say, especially when he has the period when he's with the boy Ethan, and then I don't want to give everything away, but you know, later on towards the end of the book, I was a good dog, I had fulfilled my purpose, and really the last line, as something kind of, you know, poignant for those of us who read the book happens, he said, I had fulfilled my purpose. So, I mean, it really, you know, sort of that pursuit of purpose or understanding of purpose is kind of what takes him and us all the way through to that final scene.
Yeah, when I wrote A Dog's Purpose, it was really so easy to focus in on how dogs are. They're very much of the moment,
yeah,
and they're very much dogs. Picture, though, that they may have a greater comprehension of what's going on than we realize, that they actually think about us when we're not home, that they begin to puzzle over where we go, and that they feel like they have a job. I mean, most destruction, I think dog behaviorists will tell you that most of the time, when you come home and the dogs have ripped up your shoes or something, it's because they feel like they don't have a job.
Yeah.
If it's their job to go out with you in the morning and get the paper, well, then that's their job. And if they've done their job, they feel much better about themselves.
Right.
Well, that's a purpose. That's a purpose of a dog. This just takes it and says, well, what if it's more profound? What if a dog's purpose is much more complex and requires several lives to figure out?
Well, and also too that as that dog is as a he or she is born and reborn into various kind of settings and lifestyles and guises, that is shaped largely by you know other factors and that then sort of determine that sense of purpose. Yeah, that day it might be, as you were saying, getting the paper, but at one point the dog is sort of a police search dog. It has a very, you know, more tangible, specific sort of day-long purpose. And then, you know, again, as we get towards the final parts of the book, it seems like there's a whole new sense of understanding and insight that, like you say, has only come from, I guess, the cumulative, experience of the other purposes as he and in some case she has traveled through all these sorts of guises.
Yeah, in A Dog's Purpose, what was important for me, Duncan, was to bring out that dogs are really really in tune with us, and and I like you keep saying he, she, because the dog that is the character of A Dog's Purpose does not always come back as a male dog.
Yeah.
It comes back as different breeds and different sexes. And when she is a tracking dog for the police department, while she has a very specific purpose and she feels very good about her job, she's also very aware that there's something really broken in her handler, that there's been a real tragedy in his life. She doesn't understand what that is because it's above a dog's understanding.
Yeah.
But she, on a very basic level, understands that there's something broken. And you know, it's one of the most profound moments in the book when the handler finally fixes what's broken inside him, and the dog doesn't know doesn't fully understand it,
right,
but gets that the guy is fixed, and that experience goes on to help the dog fulfill purpose later in life.
Yeah, well, and then there's a few times throughout the book where the dog is, I mean, you expect the dog obviously to have, you know, a great sense of smell, but at times, again, depending on where this dog is in the story and therefore, you know, and with whom and what else is going on, still has a very sort of keenly perceptive reading to the extent that this dog is capable of situations and people. And like you say, with that guy, you know, could sort of not quite fully understand what's going on, but there was something amiss. And earlier in the book where there's a neighborhood boy, Todd, who's clearly troubled, gloms onto that, but yeah, can't articulate exactly why or what's going on. And again, when the handler, reaches, kind of a happier place, can't exactly connect the dots, but certainly understands that what was broken has been largely repaired.
Right. Yeah. And that the moment with the troubled boy that you speak of is very profound for Bailey, the dog that is the golden retriever in a dog's purpose. And the brokenness in that troubled boy is something that expresses itself in a different way in a later life, in a different person that the dog meets. So it really is very much about how our furry friends, our dogs, our canines, really do put things together, but in a dog way.
I mean, yeah.
They understand what's going on in their life, but that doesn't mean that they have a human-like understanding, but they can sort of form the same kind of associations. We know that they can learn, so the idea that they might eventually develop a more profound philosophy of life is really the heart of a dog's purpose.
Sure. Well, again, this is a Talking Animals. My guest is author Bruce Cameron, in a conversation recorded recently. We're discussing his new book, A Dog's Purpose, A Novel for Humans. So Bruce, let me just sort of take a small, maybe a gigantic leap here and ask you, to what extent does all this constitute sort of a big old metaphor for the way us human types ponder and view our lives and our lot in life, what's it all about, Alfie, and how those assessments evolve and mutate as we pass through different phases of our own lives and different relationships and things that are, you know, sad, some are happy. Is it functioning in that way or intended to?
I think that that's a great question, Duncan, because in A Dog's Purpose, we have a dog who really, you know, is simple and unsophisticated in the world. I mean, certainly doesn't know what understand what an airplane going overhead signifies, really, and yet is able to take his life experiences and overall form sort of a tapestry a pattern that he can read and see what his purpose is. And we as people so often will become rootless and purposeless, and we won't really look to our past for clues as to what our purpose might be. We're always looking forward to the future and trying to think of what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what you've done and what you've experienced might be part of the formula, and maybe doing some introspective reflection on our past might help us as people find our purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why where for me this book, which is again, it's sort of a fun, breezy read. And usually, when you say that, okay, that's one kind of book. But there's also so much other meat and substance and things to ponder at this level as well, which is hard to do. And I guess like any really, you know, great book, there's as much there for the reader as the reader, you know, is sort of prepared to bring his or herself.
You know, thank you. That A Dog's Purpose, I would agree, is you get as much out of it as you put into it. It has a lot of people excited in terms of younger readers because it really, though it touches on themes of humanity, there's nothing in this book that I would be afraid to have a high school student or a junior or a middle school student read.
Yeah.
And yet, the biggest fans tend to be people who have, as you put it earlier, have had some seasoning, have been on the planet for a while, and can sort of absorb the wisdom. So I'm really excited that using the dog, as you say, as a metaphor. Mm-hmm. In a dog's purpose, we've got a story that's got this universal appeal and a message if you want it.
Yeah, yeah. And if not, it's still great just beach poolside reading for the summer, you know. So, to me, you're missing a lot if that's the only way you read it. But, you know, God bless you. You can still have a great couple of days reading it that way. You know, well, just only have a couple minutes or so left here, Bruce, I'm afraid, but I guess, maybe just from a different, more nuts and bolts standpoint, I'd just like to talk a little bit about some choices you made in creating this kind of singular story. I mean, what kind of grappling, if any, for example, did you do with how smart, articulate, aware, insightful the dog or dogs would be? I mean, again, it changes depending on where the dog is and what's how many sort of births or lives it's gone through. But, since the dog or dogs are your narrator collectively, was there any sort of like, oh, geez, how verbal, how smart, how insightful can this guy be relative to my storytelling kind of goals here?
Yeah, I set up rules for myself when I was writing A Dog's Purpose, and one of them was that the dog just would not be able to follow complex conversations or grasp concepts that would require a lot of construction in various words.
Yeah.
So the dog thinks very simply, but this is a book. It's a translation, if you will, so that if a dog is feeling pain, the dog may not understand what the word pain means, but I had to be able to write a book.
Yeah.
So it was a struggle. I had to really work through as an author how the rule would work so that the dog could tell a complete story that would be interesting to human beings. And yet, when it came time to actually demonstrate what words the dog understood that were spoken, you realize there's very few. So that's really the key, when words are being spoken, the dog will listen to the words and not understand any of them.
Sure.
So an entire conversation will take place in front of him, and he doesn't understand any of it.
Right. He's just going by cues like a real dog would, or like...
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But when there's a description, like when he's talking about his first life and his mother and his relationship with his siblings, he uses words that any author would use. I didn't hold back because I wanted to tell a really interesting, fun story. A Dog's Purpose is storytelling first and foremost, and there's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of characters that you get interested in because the dog is interested in them.
Sure, but sometimes even still, there's just some great, not surprising, I guess, great word choice. I mean, early on in the book, when the dog is Toby, and at one point he talks about great snootfuls of the wind, and for one thing, that just reminded me of my dad, about the only person I recall using snootful very often, and usually he used it with talking about somebody had too much to drink, it had a snootful. But but that phrase not only still amuses me to this day, but more to the point, though, it's a great phrase to be employed by a dog, given the olfactory sense and all. So, I mean, just little things that people can sort of prize along the way, wonderful rewards for the reader. So, gosh, I'm afraid we are just about at the end of our time, Bruce. But, gosh, thank you so much. Obviously, I'm a fan of the book, and it's A Dog's Purpose, A Novel for Humans. And there's a website, adogspurpose.com, and Bruce himself has a website, brucecameron.com. And good luck. I know lots of folks are going to be speaking as enthusiastically about A Dog's Purpose as I'm fortunate enough to already be able to do now.
Oh, thank you very much, Duncan. It was great to be on your show.
All right. Thanks so much, Bruce. Take care now. And there's also now a Facebook page for A Dog's Purpose. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a copy of Bruce Cameron's new book, A Dog's Purpose, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this relevant animal tune. I'm going to take this one off the air today, I think, though. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So ordinarily, we would return next Wednesday, but we're preempted for the WMNF Summer Fun Drive. However, there is an opportunity to support Talking Animals and me next Wednesday, July 14th from 4 to 6 p.m. Details are at talkinganimals.net, including our exclusive thank you gifts for those who donate on our behalf. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals, be kind to others, be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This, too, is canine-oriented and book-oriented. It's The Eels, with Dog's Life, on WMNF Tampa. Look for you next Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Support us. We need new members. We need help. All right, WMNF Tampa.
What would you say if I left this town tomorrow? I guess I would, but I know I'd miss the train. I know I would. I'll take a dog's life, just laying in the sun. I'll take a dog's life. I don't care for this one. Chasing trains and planes and rain. Where is my ring?